So quite a while ago, well, that's loud, I got a call saying I was put on the list. And I was like, no, I don't have anything planned to be put on the list. Usually I get something, the Lord gives me something, and I say, can I get put on the list? And so I learned to trust the Lord.
Welcome to the list.
So when I had that much time, I had the Lord give me something, and I was seeking it out, and it had come so far, and then kind of halted. I thought, well, I have time, and time, and times. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the calendar. I'm counting weekends. Because it's days, you count that many days, it's too many. But you count weekends, you get a better idea of how far away something is. So, 4 weekends, 3 weekends, 2 weekends, Lord said, we're changing. And actually, it was a car ride. And it's kind of neat that it was a car ride, because that's been a generational thing. It started with my father. He would get people in the car and have a captive audience, and off they went. Whether it was me and my cousin going to work, he wouldn't take 390 for a job down in Dansville. We took back roads. So we'd spend more time talking and working things out. Or I remember a friend of mine was having some issues at home and would show up, and they wouldn't go for a ride, but they'd sit in the car at the driveway in the 1 a.m. and talk. And I've had the privilege of being asked to have talks or being tapped by the Lord to speak to whoever was in the car with me. And I know that my son Mason has had the same privilege. He calls it the car ministry, the car talks. So this was actually a car talk with me and Mason. And there's a little bit background to this, because even though we both have the ministry of car talks, we do not always communicate on the same level when we're in the car together, him and I. And when he was younger, he would get very frustrated and would just shut down. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Do you mean this? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm this. And so then I'd get upset because he'd stop talking to me. And he'd get upset because he was tired of repeating himself. And now that we recognize it, it's a joke. Because now when we're missing, instead of getting frustrated, we both laugh and start over. And I guess that's a sign of maturity, that we're willing to persevere through the miscommunication to get to the point of it. So we were having a very good car talk, no miscommunication on this ride into church. And as we had talked about several things, and as we pull into the parking lot, he asked me, can we curse demons? And I went, yep, no, curse demons. I know we have the ability to curse. Are we supposed to? And then I thought, well, what demons? What? And for some reason, this is the scripture that popped in my head immediately. So then I backed up and said, no, let me double check. And it's Jude 1:9. And the reason why I remember it is it's very odd. I've always had a lot of questions about this. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, a curse, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, my always biggest question is, what are they arguing over Moses' body over? That's a side note, but the fact is I remembered that verse because of that. So I thought, well, if Archangel Michael wouldn't curse Satan over an argument, he said, let the Lord rebuke him, maybe we're not supposed to curse. So I started looking, and then the first thing that popped up when we were looking at curses was in James 3, and it's about blessing and cursing. And so we do have the ability to curse, but should we? From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not be so. So then, now I'm trying to decide how to answer the question, because we're going in different directions. We're talking about evil spirits and demonic forces. We're talking about blessing and cursing. And this refers more to men, and this is more of a spiritual influence. So I was saying, Lord, which way do I go? And he said, yes. So this is like a quick overview, refreshing. Maybe it's new, maybe it's stuff we've heard, but we've never grasped the deeper meaning of. But this is what the Lord's given me, so it was for a reason. So from James 3:10, we know that we are to bless, but we're not supposed to be blessing and cursing with the same mouth. So then we can go to 1 Peter 3:9. Do not repay evil for good. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. So if someone's evil to us, we're not supposed to repay them with evil. If someone reviles against us, we're not supposed to revile against them. We're called to bless, and the reason why we're called to bless is so that we may receive a blessing. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. So we're to bless and not curse. But then what can we do against our spiritual enemies, and by what authority? And the authority is from Jesus. Matthew 28:18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So all authority has been given to Jesus. And because he has the authority now, in Luke 10:19, see, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. If he didn't have the authority, he couldn't give it to us. But because he received it first, then he can give us the authority that he has. Mark 16:17. And these things will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. So not only do we have the authority, but as we believe in him and walk out our life, these things will happen. They're going to be a sign. John 14:12. Truly, truly, I tell you, everyone who believes in me will also do the work that I am doing, and he will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. So if we look at Christ's ministry, he was always healing and delivering. There almost wasn't a difference at times. But it was a very prominent part of his ministry. So he says here that we will be doing it and even greater things. So as far as curses, I would say let the Lord deal with it. But here are some of the things that we can do using the examples in the Word against spiritual, ungodly spirits. In Ephesians 6:10 through 12, it tells us to stand. In Revelation 12:11, it tells us to conquer. 1 John 4:4, we're to overcome. Matthew 18:18 says that we can bind. Luke 4:35 and 41, it says that we can silence. Matthew 8:31 and 32 says we can cast out. Romans 6:10 says we can break. Zechariah 3:2 says we can rebuke. So the next question, and this is a harder question, is who's our Father? If we look at 1 John 3:10, and parts of John 8, we know that there's only two choices. God is the father of life, or Satan the father of lies. Those are the only two options. There's no in between. So who are we children of? The father of lies can do whatever he wants with his children. But how does he have an influence over the children of God? Proverbs 26:2. Like a sparrow flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that has no cause does not alight. So if we're children of God, and a curse without cause doesn't alight, how does the enemy get spiritual influence in our lives as Christians? In two verses, Job 2, verse 1, and then we're going to Peter 5, 8, and 9. So this is the beginning of Job. Chapter 2, verse 1. And again it was the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them and presented himself. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" And Satan answered, the Lord said, and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then we jump to 1 Peter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So here's two places in the Bible that we know that Satan is walking the earth, going to and from, looking. What is he looking for? Who he may devour. He doesn't have to look far at his own children. What is he searching and what is he looking for in us? What is it that we need to be sober and vigilant against? So here are some things that as Christians, if we give him an opening, he will take full advantage of. Willful sin. If I have been convicted of something and the Lord says no more and I continue to do willful sin and walk in that, the enemy sees that and finds an opening. The occult. And that seems a very obvious one. All the occult, witchcraft, big black dark magic. But a lot of it gets almost looked at as a game through Ouija boards, tarot cards, and horoscopes. And the newspaper used to print Bible verses every day. Now they print horoscopes every day. And a cult to the Lord is like spiritual adultery. And you can, in places, especially in Proverbs, where it's talking about adultery or prostitution, read that and replace adultery with occult or ungodly things. So Proverbs 7, 25 through 27. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not shy into her path. For many victims she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her way is the way to Shiloh, and going down to the chambers of death. We can very easily remove adultery and put in spiritual adultery. Generational curses. There are several generational curses. A lot of them, Genesis 23 through 5 mentions some. And it says that the iniquity of the fathers will be paid out 3 and 4 generations. And we think that's 3 or 4 generations. But if we do the math, that's 30 people. So now that I can be living my life, but 30 people in my family line could have made an oath, worshiped a false god, take a blood covenant, and it's going to allow something to affect my bloodline. Something I may not be a part of, something I may not have known. And then you look at generational curses like child born out of wedlock. That goes back 10 generations. I did the math. Now, this is no divorce, no widows remarried. That's 1,024 people. Do we know with certainty what their standing was with the Lord? 1,024 people. Are we confident in what has been deposited in our bloodline? That's a lot of people. Trauma or abuse. Physical trauma, spiritual trauma, emotional trauma, abuse, trauma. Whether it's been done to us or we've witnessed it, that is an opening. And it's different levels for different people. Some people can witness or go under certain levels of trauma and it may not affect them. And other people have that much and it almost destroys them. And a lot of it, we think of violence and stuff, but you ever think about surgery? Where they're going in, making you unconscious and moving around parts of your body on the inside, stick their hands in there and moving things around, pulling things out, sticking things in. That's traumatic. And plus, our mind is not in a conscious state. So there's two things that we have to be cautious of. So before and after surgeries, please pray. And then look at all the PTSD that we're dealing with now with our veterans or those that have been in dangerous situations. If we were ever not sure that trauma was an opening for ungodly spiritual influences, like with our veterans, 22 suicides a day, that is a spiritual opening that we need to lift them up in prayer and pray. If God isn't sending us, we need to pray that God would send someone to teach spiritual truths to them because they're not getting better. 22 veterans a day commit suicide. Ungodly soul ties. Most of the time this has to do with sexual nature. You've made a soul tie through an immoral decision, or it could be a drinking buddy, or it could be a secret society or a college club or something. It could be just an oath you made with a partner. But they have, you've made a connection, and when you guys separate and they make, or you make another connection, parts of them get carried to parts of the next and parts of the next, and that math is as fast or faster than the generational curse. So someone in my past that I had an ungodly soul tie with, if that wasn't broken correctly and left to go, they may have had a relationship with someone that had a relationship with someone that had a relationship with someone that is Satanist. And now they have a fragment of my soul. And they can speak ungodly things into my life. So we need to be aware of that and break them. False religions. And there's a lot of them. And some are obvious because they're direct opposite of what we believe. And some are very similar and only in some fine details tell half-truths. But if I give you a pure glass of water and put one drop of poison, is it still safe to drink? Can you drink around the poison? So if it doesn't line up 100% with the gospel, Jesus is God, he was born a virgin, lived a sinless life as a man, died on the cross for my sins, and rose again on the third day according to scripture. Any variance, anything added to that, oh, plus you have to burn some candles, or you have to pay for this, or you don't really have to go to him, it's false. If I'm measuring 1,000 feet and I make a half inch measurement wrong here, at the end of 1,000 feet, that's magnified. So a small half truth in what I believe in eternity is going to send me to the wrong place. And unfortunately, there's some religions, false religions that people don't see as religion, that even some Christians partake in. And so I would encourage you to do some research, seek out the Holy Spirit, and ask him personally whether or not to be involved in this. But one of the big ones is yoga. Here's something that is over 10,000 years old. And if you go back and look at the history of it, it was Vedic priests, I don't even know who they were, and mystic seers that started it. And another very prevalent one is the martial arts. The name itself, martial arts, is named after the Roman god of war, Mars. And then if you look at the god of Mars, then we realize that a lot of Islamic religion believes in the same god. And then you look back at the history of that, and it was Buddhist monks traveling to China to translate their religion into Chinese that introduced martial arts into Southeast Asia, and then as it spread through the different countries, it took on different forms of, each country has their own strength in kung fu or karate or, you know, all these different things, but they all come from the same root of that ungodly false religion. And a lot of the bowing and stuff that people think is just ceremony has deeper roots than they realize. So we need to be aware of where some of these things are based out of and be very open to the Holy Spirit as to direction on whether or not we should be involved. Broken covenant is a way that the enemy has, and that can be very generational. Have we ever seen a family that there is just divorce after divorce after divorce after divorce? And it seems like, you know, why is it, well, that's a generational curse that came in from the first broken covenant, and it just keeps growing and strengthening in each generation until it's broken and dealt with. The shedding of innocent blood. Millions in this country. Innocent blood. There can be curses on buildings or properties. So that's something else to ask the Holy Spirit about. What should I be doing, whether I own the property and live there, or I'm renting an apartment? What has been there in its past that could possibly have defiled the land or the property? What could have been done on this, in this house or in this room, that has invited ungodly spirits? So then, me as a Christian and the spiritual authority now in this house, you have the right to go through and clean house spiritually. You can declare things, you can pray over things. I remember several years ago, Eric McDonald was telling me that they just kept having this family struggle and it kept repeating itself. And they're praying and praying and praying, and the Lord said, you need to clean your house. And he didn't understand why, so he just was praying, walking through the house. The Lord leads him down to the basement, and he's walking down the basement, and the Lord says, reach up in the ceiling tile. And he moves the ceiling tile, and there's a heat vent. On top of the heat vent is a pornographic magazine. It was there before they bought the house. They removed it, prayed over the house again, broke that, and that left. That stopped. Peace came back. So we don't know, just like we don't know the 1,025 people in our bloodline that may have done something, we don't know what was done on the land historically or even by previous owners, what was done. Lucky charms, the kitchen witch, hex symbols on barns, dream catchers, all are symbols of false religion. So, you know, they're lucky charms, or they're supposed to prevent evil things from happening. And actually, they're opening and giving them grounds to enter. A lot of New Age stuff that says it's supposed to help you, it's just another lie with a different coat of paint on it. Drugs and alcohol. You ever been around someone that's pretty straight-laced and all of a sudden two or three beers and all of a sudden that filter starts changing? Well, that filter goes both ways. Is anything that's going to alter our mind and take away the clarity, as that filter loosens us up, that filter hole gets bigger and stuff can come in. When I was younger and in rebellion, whenever I was involved in smoking marijuana, lots of times at night I would wake up paralyzed and there would be dark creatures standing on either side of me and I couldn't breathe. Couldn't move, couldn't. All I could think of, I knew if I cried out the name of Jesus, they would leave. And if I could, they did. And then when I stopped that, they stopped coming. So we open ourselves up to this stuff without realizing the bigger picture sometimes. So the Lord gave me a picture of a courtroom. God the Father's the judge, and we can see that in Psalm 75:7. Jesus is our advocate, 1 John 2:1. And Satan is the accuser, Revelation 12:10. And I'm the defendant. And Satan stands up and says, Your Honor, on this date, Mr. Fess committed this sin, and we need him to be held accountable. We need due payment. And Jesus, our advocate, stands up and says, Yes, he pleads guilty to that sin, but he's repented. That has been bought and paid for in full. And Satan says, Well, Your Honor, on this date, Mr. Fess has been holding a grudge and has refused to forgive his neighbor. And according to your own word, in Matthew 18, 23 through 35, we get to torment him until he forgives. And because God is God and he's not going to contradict his word, and there's no shadow of turning, he has legal right to torment me until I forgive. And Lord, on this day, he judged this person. He thought, look at them. Can you believe the sin they're walking in? So Lord, we're going to trip him in the same sin so he can be judged for that sin also. God says you have a legal right. Your Honor, on this date, we like to declare that Alan is stupid. And Jesus, that's not recorded in your word. That doesn't align up with what he says. I'm sorry, but he confessed that himself. One of the easiest and most overlooked, one of the most common ways the devil gains access to our lives. I'm an idiot. I can't believe I did that again. I'm never going to get this right. We're doing his work for him. So 10, 15 years ago, I'm doing maintenance for the Open Door Mission. They were in the process of selling State Street, which where the accounting department was, and we were going to move them up to the third floor. So we were painting, we put in new carpet, and all I had left to do was put in the trim around the door. And it was around the room, and it was a big open room, and we'd put in cubicles. And I had a little, I can't remember, 6-foot piece of corner round molding to put on the base trim. And it was hitting a door frame, so there was 2 miters cuts, but they were opposite directions. So I take the measurement, go to the miter box, cut, set it up, I reverse form the miters. So I take that piece and go and measure so I get the right length. Okay, I need to reverse this miter so it fits. Cut, go back, I reverse the wrong end. You idiot, how can you do this twice in a row? I go back, staring at the last 2 I just made, cut, go back, wrong miters. 2 hours of self-cursing and the spirit of confusion opened that door. 2 hours. And with each mistake, it got worse. Now, thankfully, it ended there. Let's say it doesn't. Who's ever heard someone say, this is going to be the death of me? I don't care if this kills me, I'm going to finish it. So, while the spirit of confusion is holding the door, in steps death and suicide. And 2 months later, you're driving down the road, and you hear the voice saying, you're a failure. You've disappointed everybody. Go kiss that tree at 45 miles an hour. We really need to read James over and understand the power of our own words. Because we blow it off like it's a joke. We play the dozens and tease each other. Or say something about someone. I'm just kidding. Well, it doesn't matter if you're kidding or not. The enemy has taken legal and cursed that person because of what I said. We need to come out of agreement with what I've said, with the unknown sins of my past generations, out of the false religions that I've followed knowingly or unknowingly, out of things I've done in anger, curse I've spoken over people. I need to come out of agreement with the enemy and come back into alignment with what the Lord says about me, my family, who he says I am. We cannot listen to the lie. We need to verbally. If I have made self-confessed that I am stupid, then just as loudly as I yelled that, I have to confess that I have the mind of Christ and I can do all things through Christ and make the positive confession and start walking in where he says, where I'm back in agreement with him. I need to forgive those that have hurt me. Because as we saw in the courtroom, if I don't, I won't be. Forgiveness is not a pass. It does not mean that what was done is all right. We're letting God deal with it. We're releasing them to let God deal with them. He's more effective at dealing with them than me holding a grudge. They will never know if I'm holding a grudge. They could care less. It doesn't affect them at all. It affects me. It puts chains and shackles on my arms, not on theirs. It does nothing to them. But if I definitely need to be forgiveness. I need to forgive others. I need to be accountable. Yes. Stop arguing with the devil. Well, I didn't really do that. Yes, I did that. But I've repented, and Christ has paid the price. So whether I did it or not, you don't have any authority there. And we do need to repent. Actually, let's go back to accountability. James 5. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to be accountable. We need to confess. We'll make ourselves sick if we hold things in. They'll never come and get healed. Well, the Lord will expose them because he loves us enough to expose those hidden things so that we can be healed. But it's much better to do it as soon as we recognize it and get it over with. 1 John 1:9. It's like the Christian's bar of soap. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we step out of agreement, we forgive those involved, we're accountable for our actions, we see the sin is sin, call it what it is and repent, then we have removed all the legal holdings of the enemy, and now we have the authority through Christ Jesus to bind him and cast him out. But what's just as important, after that's done, Matthew 12:44. And when an unclean spirit goes out from a man, he goes through a dry place seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes upon it, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. swept in putting orders good. Empty's not good. Nature abhors a vacuum. If we take something out, we need to put something in. Al, quite a few years ago, has made this paper that I use all the time whenever that we're together and praying deliverance ministry for people. And on it is the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what's neat about them is opposite the fruits and gifts are the enemy's counterfeit. So if you have a spirit of fear and you cast out fear, you need to ask the Lord to fill you with love, because perfect love casts out all fear. That vacuum that's created needs to be filled. And it goes on and on. There's a lot of them. Cast out a spirit of infirmity. You need to pray for a release of a spirit of healing. Right? Because I've been set free in this area, now I have more authority to pray healing in other people. Okay? So, and there's the list. And one of the other things that the enemy tries to trick us with is, with the forgiveness issue, is lots of times when you see anger and rage, it's because of deep hurt. So I've been hurt. So it's harder to forgive. And while that unforgiveness is holding the door open, this anger and rage built. And you're just, and it's not necessarily focused at that person anymore. Just all the time you're going around kicking the dog, yelling at the kids, you know, yelling at the guy in front of you at Wegmans, he's going too slow, putting his groceries, and you don't know why. But it goes back to that unforgiveness, that hurt that we can't allow to be healed until we forgive. So we need to forgive. The hurt can be healed. The anger can be cast out. And then release the peace and the joy of the Lord. God's laws, physical and spiritual, are true and effective, affect us equally, whether or not we believe or understand. A three-year-old who doesn't understand gravity cannot fly. If I believe, I can't even read my own. If I, as a believer, do not know or understand God's spiritual laws and open myself to ungodly spirits, they will affect me whether I believe it or not. And the good news is we have a Redeemer, an advocate, one who has paid the price in full. Who has declared from the cross, it is finished. We can be forgiven, saved, set free, made whole. All these things through the power and authority of Jesus Christ and the work he did on the cross. And we are to be set free not only for ourselves, so that we can be used by him to set others free. So I don't know what this will look like or if anyone's feeling this, but I just felt like at the end of this, we're supposed to open up to anyone that feels like something got a little twinge or something. They felt like they needed ministry in an area. Not necessarily, not limited to deliverance or curses, but anything that Jesus already paid the price for. If that's forgiveness, salvation, freedom from spiritual attack, whatever that is, we just want to open up. If anyone feels the need, please come up or see and you're the leaders, and we will be happy to pray with you. So, Lord, I thank you for your heart for us. We thank you for the price that you've already paid. We thank you that you have given us the keys to freedom, Lord, and that you love us enough to show us how to be free, how to avoid the pitfalls, Lord, that you would open our spiritual eyes and understanding to those things that maybe aren't mentioned here, but that are out there lurking, all the half-truths, the lies of the enemy that are looking to trip us up, Lord, that we would see them with spiritual eyes and avoid them. That we would be sensitive to the voice of your Holy Spirit directing us in all truth. Lord, we just ask that you would finish what you start in us. Lord, thank you for your promise that you will finish what you start in us. Lord, that we would just be more and more sensitive to you, and that we'd be more and more like your Son, Jesus, every day. In Jesus' name.